history and why she believes it's all about love and creating a caring city. Olivia Chow has served 2 terms as a school trustee, 4 terms as Toronto City Councillor, and 8 years as New Democratic Party Member of Parliament for Trinity Spadina from 2006 to 2014. Chow is a well-known public figure for social justice and progressive political change. She is also the founder of the Institute for Change Leaders, where she has trained thousands of activists in political organizing. Here are Stephen Wenzel and Olivia Chow in conversation. Take a listen.
All right. So, Olivia, I guess my first question for you, running for mayor, why you and why now?
Our city is not doing as well as it could be. We are stuck waiting for buses, stuck in traffic, stuck waiting for good, affordable housing, community services, childcare services. There's a huge wait list even for Parks and Rec program, even 911, we are waiting. So I think it's at a point that we really need to take action. And for too long, City Hall have had people that really didn't make a lot of change. So as an immigrant, as someone that have a lot of experience, whether being a member of parliament or City Hall, I know what it takes to fix things. I know how to work with people because I believe that together we are stronger. So I believe the time is now and I would make a good mayor.
Now, can you tell me some of what are the pillars of your campaign? What are the most important things that you want people to know?
Mm-hmm. When my mom and dad immigrated to Canada, my dad had mental health issues, couldn't work. And my mom, even though she was a teacher, she couldn't find teaching positions. So she ended up working as a maid in a hotel and then worked in the laundry department. My dad was a teacher, school superintendent. There wasn't enough teaching job at the time. So he tried driving taxi, and this is before GPS time. So he was getting lost. He couldn't hear the dispatcher well enough. And it was just hard, right? And so he just had a nervous breakdown and ended up being quite violent against my mom. So my poor mom, it was hard, working hard and coming home and just a lot of difficulties. But with her one income, she was able to still pay the rent and some money left, and we didn't have to go to a food bank or anything, right? The time now is totally different. Far too many people pay more than 50% of their income on rent, or they have to take on a second job and they're exhausted, or different shifts, and it's just tired, or they're constantly worrying about, hey, how am I going to afford this, right? Is there going to be any money left? Is my landlord going to evict me? And if you want to grow your family, guess what? You have to find another apartment because it may not be big enough, or your kid is going older. It's just like, oh, the housing affordability is in such bad situation. You know why? Because City Hall have stopped building affordable housing. And we used to, in the 80s, 90s, City of Toronto and the regional government built 32,000 units of housing. Think about it, 32,000, right? And did we build any in the last 10 years? Nah. And then there's this Housing Now program, been 5 years. And guess what? Not one shuffle hit the ground, nada, right? So because they're depending on a private developer using city land to build. Guess what? Not happening. Or it is happening, but very slowly. We're in a crisis situation. 200 people plus each night are being turned away from shelters, right? So we have to have more shelters, but ultimately you have to have more affordable housing, or it just won't work. And the affordable housing, the definition that the City of Toronto and the federal government have is, 80% of the market rent. Guess what? If $3,000 is the market right now, yeah, how many people can actually afford $1,500 or $2,000 or $2,500 for rent? Not that many, right? Unless you pay 80% of your income to rent, which is what, what you have left. But you see, the whole rise of food bank is because people just don't have enough cash after they pay housing costs. So if I'm the mayor, I'm building 25,000 units of housing. City of Toronto is going to do the building ourselves. We're going to go back. We did it back then. We're going to do it again. Let's just get it done. And 30% of them will be affordable because I believe in mixed income housing. You don't just put everything that everybody that needs affordable housing into one building. It's just like, nah, that's not the way it should be done. It should be mixed income housing, 70-30, cross-subsidized a bit, and it would give hope to right now 90,000 households that are on the City of Toronto wait list for affordable housing, right? They're stuck on this wait list. So building affordable housing, number one. But number two, you have to stop the eviction, right? Because you know, you can build housing and people keep getting evicted. It's not going to help. So by stopping eviction, we're going to do the financial support and the social support, because you get evicted for several different reasons. So we are doubling the rent bank so we can give you financial support. You need some social support. We are tripling that budget. And sometimes the landlord just won't fix, you know, dripping, whatever, or the elevator doesn't work, no hot water. That has happened. So we're going to get the inspector, more of them, to back up the residents. If the landlord won't fix it after many tries, the city will fix it and put it on their property tax, right? So let's just get it done. And thirdly, I'm a strong believer that stronger together, right? So if the landlord all of a sudden just doing an illegal rent increase, huge rent increase, for whatever reason, we're going to bring the tenants together, organize them to a tenants association. If you need to go to the tribunal, go to court, we'll provide some financial legal help. And we're supporting the Metro Toronto Tenants Association to help do the organizing, right? Because organizing is important. One tenant can't do it. But if everybody that belongs in the building come together, hey, they're much stronger. So that's the aspect. And then one other piece that is really, I'm excited about it, is you've heard of renoviction, demoviction, right? Any number of excuses. The homeowner, the landlord would go, they would just renovate, evict everybody, and bring new people in. Guess what? Then they could charge whatever, right? No. So the city will work with land trust. Let's get the tenants organized, right? And form a land trust or a cooperative. The city will come in and fix the building and then buy it and turn the ownership of the building to the tenants so that it becomes a co-op or a land trust. Guess what? Then it goes from private hands to public hands, and therefore the tenants will have a secure long-term home, not having to worry that it's going to be sold out under them. So that we are providing 10 times the money of this program, from 10 million, it's an existing program, to 100 million. We're just ramping it up because we believe this is really important. Having good land trusts, publicly owned tenants in control. We're just giving the voice back to the tenants. And speaking about voices, we're going to bring advocates, tenants and advocates, into City Hall. We're forming a secure renters committee at City Hall so that we look at these practices and look at what else we need to do. And we get the experts, which are the renters and their advocates, the city staff and the politicians together. And then we will meet regularly to review what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, and how we could improve, and how we could get all the tenants to push, because some of the laws are the provincial government. Uh-huh. But just City Hall pushing is not strong enough. Let's organize the tenants to say, 50%, by the way, of City of Toronto are tenants, right? So let's organize the 50% of the folks in Toronto and say to Duckford, the premier, to say, hey, there are a bunch of things you could do that could make our life better, and do it, right? So giving the voice of tenants and renters right at City Hall by bringing them together at City Hall so they are at the table. So sorry it's a longer answer, but it's we want it to be comprehensive. It's not just one thing. We have a multitude of things so that we could really deal with the housing crisis.
I'm wondering, too, how is this campaign different from when you've run for mayor in the past?
Well, last time I was just like, oh, my English is not good enough. Okay. And maybe someone can help me write my speech. And then I'll read my speech. So if you look back to those days, it was me reading things. Now, I believe in what I'm reading, but is it technically in my voice? Not so much. Maybe a bit. This time I said, well, heck, all right, my English is not perfect, but you understand what I'm talking about. I'm not going to worry about it. All right, okay, my grammar is not perfect. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. I was just going to say it like it is and just be myself.
What would you do differently than John Tory?
Oh, good Lord. Do you have an hour? Well, let's use the example I just gave you. John Tory, under John Tory's housing program, is the private sector that are managing the building. Nah, I'd rather the tenants manage it or a nonprofit manage it. And hey, private sector can help us build it. That's just fine. But I want it's city land, remember? We want city to own it, or a nonprofit or the tenants to own it. That's very different. Because if you think about why would the private sector wants to come and manage it? Well, they can make some money out of it. Okay, why don't I just take that, what people can make, and build it back into the building, the tenants, so that we could subsidize some of the tenants' rent. So people that can pay market value. People that can pay because they just lost their job or they have several kids and they don't have enough childcare, they can't work, or they have a disability, whatever reason, they too have a home, right? So that's a big difference. The other difference is this. John Tory negotiated with Mr. Ford behind closed door. Okay? I don't know. Do you know what they're negotiating? How they're negotiating? I don't know. The city council, no? No. Hang on. I believe stronger together, right? So I want city council to be involved. I want the residents of Toronto to be involved in the negotiation, because it's not just one mayor. It's all of us. If the provincial government won't pay their fair share, we are going to go after it, not just me, Olivia Chow, right? So it's a very different approach. Rather than I'll fix things for you, Stephen, just trust me, I'll take care of it. No, that's not how I do business. I believe that we could take care of each other better when we are coming together. I want to open up City Hall and say, hey, if there's something needs to be done, your ideas is just as good as other folks' ideas. Let's hear it. Okay, let's debate about it. And when we need to get something done, like asking Mr. Ford to do X, Y, and Z, like, you know, pay their bills, for example, support us on the TTC, all of that stuff, let's do it together. Okay, so those two are very different approaches.
Absolutely. And I'm wondering, let's say you do win the election and you become mayor. I'm wondering, I guess, on your first day, what's the very first act that you're hoping to accomplish as mayor?
Thanking people. Thanking them for their trust. Thanking them for believing we can make a difference. Thanking them to be hopeful. And I would say that this won't be easy. We'll all make mistakes. But hey, let's just do this. Okay? That would be my first thing that I would do. I would meet with the counselors and the city staff and say, hey, this is how I work. And I've laid out my priorities during the election, right? Here's my platform. I want to hear who wants to do what and by when. How are we going to do this? Who wants to? Because some people like to deal with public transit. Other people like to deal with senior services. Everybody have their interests. Well, let's hear it. I'm a firm believer that if the person has the passion to get something done, hey, I want to harness that, whether they're counselors or staff or citizens, right? So I really want to get that set up and then say to the public and say, okay, we now have Stephen in charge of TDC, okay? Stephen and TDC so-and-so staff, right? The CEO or whatever, the team, all right? Who knows TDC? Who loves TDC? Well, lots of people. There are different groups out there. There's TDC Riders. There's Steve Monroe. There's all types of people that have a lot of expertise. Hey, why don't we get together and actually talk about what are some of the priorities that we all agree with and how do we get this done? All right. So bring them together and set targets. If you don't set targets, it'll just be research and there'll be reports and then there'll be more research and there'll be more reports and nothing get done, right? I can't stand that. Life's too short. So let's set some targets. This will get done by this time. How much is this going to cost? Whoa, okay, it's not cheap. Okay, all right. How are we going to find the money? Let's think about this. We need some support from the provincial government. Well, okay, how are we going to do that? So that's what I would do in each of the area. Bring the people together, set some targets, and get it done.
All right. And my final question for you, Olivia, just to bring it all full circle. You know, as many people know, you are married to the leader of the Federal New Democratic Party, Jack Layton. And I'm wondering, what have you learned from Jack that you'll carry on with you as you make history of your own?
What a sweet question. Yeah, he's passed away for a while now, but he has several lines that we all know, right? Be loving, hopeful, and optimistic. Hey, if I'm not hopeful, why am I doing this? if I don't believe that things can change, that we can make progress, you have to be hopeful and optimistic in doing that. My slogan has been, you know, let's create a caring city. That's really about love. It's about caring for each other. We absolutely need to do that because, you know, in the depth of despair, that mother, Andrea McAleese, whose son was killed in the Kiel subway, said to us, let's care for each other better and let's look at the social conditions and make sure people are not in a crisis situation. So it's about caring, it's about love, right? That's very much Jack. The other piece that he said was, hey, young people have lots of energy, encourage them to get involved. I'm surrounded by a lot of young people in my campaign. Great. So that's another lesson. So yeah, you know, open the doors. Come check me out at oliviachow.ca. And the third thing he has a saying, and it always is that don't let them tell you it can't be done. Aha. All right. Journey is long, not going to be easy, but, you know, don't let them tell you it can't be done. Let's go and do it. And let's do it now. So join me. And I hope I will be elected as mayor on June 26th. It's only, I don't know, a few weeks away, 6-7 weeks away. We'll do this. We'll do this.
Olivia Chow and national politics reporter Stephen Wenzel in conversation. Thanks so much for that, Olivia and Stephen. Now it's time for a segment we like to call In Case You Missed It. And for that, we'll hand it over to Rabble editor Nick Seabrook. Take it away, Nick.
Thanks, Brianne. In Labour news, Labor reporter Gabriela Kaluge-Kasuga and myself attended the 30th Annual Canadian Labor Congress Constitutional Convention in Montreal this week. Over 1,000 representatives from unions and affiliates across the country attended the convention to discuss how to tackle important issues facing labor today in Canada, including affordability, Indigenous reconciliation, the climate crisis, and more. On the first day of the convention, the Canadian Labor Congress passed by a wide margin an affordability action plan, with points aimed at addressing issues such as rent control, public services, and public health care. Canadian Labor Congress President B. Brusk slammed the Bank of Canada and the federal and provincial governments for making workers pay for an inflation crisis that they did not create. Also in labor news, Rabble's Journalism for Change fellow Kia Lucero shared the story of Ronald Vesa, a man who came to Canada from Germany through the federal temporary foreign worker program. Vesa had a dream of one day immigrating to Canada and hoped that becoming a temporary foreign worker would help him build towards that dream. However, that dream soon turned into a nightmare as Vesa found himself at the mercy of his employer and landlord, a situation many temporary foreign workers have found themselves in. Vesa alleges that his employer shorted him tens of thousands of dollars in pay. He felt that he could not leave his job, as if he did, he would lose his temporary worker status, which would risk him being deported. After lengthy battles in the court, Vesa was awarded compensation from his now former employer, who was also fined $1,000, and was placed on a federal non-compliant employer list. Being placed on that list, however, does not prevent that employer from continuing to hire through the temporary foreign worker program. In Canadian politics this week, Rabble parliamentary reporter Carl Nirenberg says Indigenous leaders in Canada should keep expectations for King Charles III low. Over 2.5 centuries ago, one of Charles's ancestors, George III, issued the Royal Proclamation of 1763, which laid out certain protections for Indigenous peoples of North America and their lands. History has shown us, however, that as time went on, the Royal Proclamation quickly faded from the memories of colonial settlers and their governments. Nirenberg notes that while the new king has shown interest in supporting social issues like environmentalism in the past, that they should keep their expectations low on the matter of Crown-Indigenous relations. Charles and his family are now only powerless figureheads. Charles was officially crowned last Saturday. In health news, Stephen Wenzel reports that a coalition of experts is calling on Canada to ban glyphosate use. Glyphosate is a highly toxic chemical used as an herbicide and is commonly known by the brand name Roundup. The toxic chemical has been linked to kidney and liver diseases as well as some cancers. In an interview with Rabble.ca, Jackie Garrow, founder and principal impact producer with Ring 5 Impact Docs, spoke about the urgent need to take action against glyphosate use. Garrow said, quote, "This is an environmental issue. This is a farming issue. This is a Ministry of Natural Resources issue," end quote. In Alberta politics, Premier Danielle Smith created a series of controversies for her campaign this past week. Smith faced an outcry for comments she made in 2021 in a video that recently resurfaced on social media. In the video, she compares the 75% of Albertans who received a COVID-19 vaccination to Germans who supported Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party in the 1930s. She further stated that she would no longer wear a poppy because it had been ruined for her by political leaders who pretend they understand sacrifice. Finally, the Alberta Premier drew criticism for telling a gathering of her donors that she had called in the Canadian military to help fight the fires raging across the province prior to making this information available to the general public. She was criticized for attempting to create political capital off of a natural disaster. Join us for Off the Hill this month as we review the recent challenges and wins of the labor movement in Canada. On Wednesday, May 24th, 2023, at 4:30 p.m. Pacific, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, join guests NDP MP Alexander Boularis, Ontario School Board Council of Unions President Laura Walton, policy expert Chuka Ejekam, and Rabble parliamentary reporter Carl Nirenberg for Off the Hill, Labor in High Gear for Action and Change. Recent months have seen significant activity in Canada's labor movement, including a public service strike, action against austerity across the country, and the Canadian Labor Congress Convention in Montreal. This month, Rabble's Off the Hill panel takes a dive into recent developments and what's next for the labor movement in Canada. Save your spot. Register for this free online panel with a link in our show notes. Or, for all of you listening on radio, visit rabble.ca. As always, you can find the full version of these stories and much, much more on Rabble.ca. Finally, Rabble is seeking to hire a national politics reporter. The successful candidate will have a proven track record in national politics reporting. A strong sense of newsworthiness, an understanding of social movements and issues in Canada, and an ability to meet deadlines. The start date for this position will be in mid-July and will be for 30 hours a week for 9 weeks. This position was created through the help of a Canada Summer Jobs grant, and therefore applicants must be 30 years old or younger at time of hiring to apply. We are also only accepting applicants living in or around the Ottawa region. Find this posting on rabble.ca/opportunities.
Thanks, Nick. Lastly, a word from a rabble rouser to watch in 2023, Jessica Bonilla Dampty.
Hola. Hi. I'm Jessica Bonilla Dampty from the Sexual Assault Center Hamilton area, also known as SASHA. I'm privileged to be the director at SASHA, who, alongside my amazing colleagues, work in a feminist, not-for-profit, community-based organization that provides support to survivors of sexual violence of all genders, age 16 and older. We work to end violence and oppression through education, advocacy, outreach, coalition building, community partnerships, and activism. I'm honored, thankful, and excited to be named a Rabble Rouser to watch for 2023, and would like to thank Rabble's readers for nominating me. For more information on the work we do at SASHA, please check out my interview on rabble.ca.
And that's it for Rabble Radio this week. Thanks as always for tuning in. If you like the show, please consider subscribing to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And please rate, review, share Rabble Radio with your friends. It takes 2 seconds to support independent media like Rabble. Follow us on social media across channels at RabbleCA. If you have feedback for the show, ideas, stories, opinions you'd like us to cover, we'd love to hear about it. Get in touch with us anytime at editor@rabble.ca. Thank you to all the journalists and writers who contributed to this week's content on rabble.ca, and thank you to Carl Nirenberg for supplying the music. Lastly, thank you to you for tuning in to Rabble Radio. I'm Brianne Doyle, and I'll talk to you next week.
Music, or do you like technology, or do you like talking to people? CGSF Radio is the place for you. Here at CGSF, the opportunities are endless. You can interview artists and bands, speak up for what you believe in, or even host your own show, and tons more. To find out more information, visit cgsf.ca.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain, BC. This radio is diverse, independent, and always yours. Check us out at cjsf.ca or search CJSF 90.1 FM on SoundCloud.
Hey, folks.